Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice, Family Cosmetic and Dental Sleep Medicine, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Geno's East, Downtown Nashville, and Osteo Strong Nashville.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into this special edition of Preds Insiders on the Game Nashville app, thegamenashville.com, and wherever you get your podcasts. A lot going on with the Nashville Predators today and last night. We have a lot to discuss. We've got Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Robbie and Rexroad coming up here in just a minute. Craig Button, TSN NHL draft analyst, a little later on to react to Yaroslav Askarov, the young Russian goaltender taken 11th overall by the Nashville Predators last night in the 2020 NHL draft. Luke Evangelista, the 42nd overall pick taken by the Preds in the second round today. We will get Craig Button's analysis of that pick as well. In addition to the draft, Nick Bonino, the 37th overall pick and the 70th overall pick traded to the Minnesota Wild today in exchange for Luke Cunnan and the 101st pick in the draft. So essentially, Bonino, a second and a third to Minnesota for Cunnan in a fourth. Kyle Turris placed on unconditional waivers for the purpose of a buyout, as well as Steven Santini, but Santini is a non-factor in this organization. Turris had 4 years left on his contract, total of $24 million, and he's going to get bought out before tomorrow's deadline. So we welcome in Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road, weekdays 6 to 10 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The new show debuted with his co-host Joe Rexroad of The Athletic earlier this week. Robbie, you can also catch his work at NHL.com, at RStanleyNHL on Twitter. Robbie, a pretty busy 24 hours for the Nashville Predators here. Last night with the pick of Yaroslav Askarov, 11th overall, the Russian goaltender. We will get to that here in a little bit, but this morning, Nick Bonino traded to Minnesota. Kyle Turris placed on unconditional waivers for the purpose of a buyout. A lot of things happening for the Nashville Predators here as the offseason commences around the National Hockey League. Let's start with the Bonino trade to Minnesota, because that was probably the most surprising of everything that happened this morning. Bonino, a second and a third to Minnesota for Cunnan and a fourth. What did you make of that trade as it came down earlier this morning?
Well, I think it falls in line with everything we've heard from David Poile so far this offseason, and that is the Predators want to be younger, and they want to be a team that skates better. I think they want to be a team that relies a little bit more on their youth, and Luke Cunnan coming in, I think, fits that role nicely. He's 22 years old, had 31 points last year, 15 goals, and I think is really starting to round into a solid player in the NHL. Now, it'll be interesting to see what role he has in Nashville. Do they put him on the wing? Does he go down the middle? What line do they want him to play on? I think that's still to be determined based on some other moves the Predators could make in the offseason. But I'm not necessarily surprised that Nick Bonino was on the way out. I know you looked at his season last year. He was one of the few guys, I thought, at the forward position that really brought it on a nightly basis. You pretty much knew what you were going to get out of Bonino. But he's also a guy, you know, entering his last year of a contract, trade value probably never going to be as high as it is right now. So you pull the trigger. I think he's one of the few people they had in their forward group that you could trade something and actually get something back for. And I think people look at the trade itself and they say, you know, Bonino, a second pick and a third round pick, that's a lot to give up to get back Luke Cunnan and another pick in addition to that. And I agree with that to a certain degree. But you also have, you know, Cunnan and his rights contractually as far as him being restricted free agent. You got to take that into account as well. So I think they're excited about Cunnan. I think they think he's a younger player that they can continue to develop. We've heard about John Hines and his ability to develop young players. That's going to be put to the test here with Cunnan, and we'll see if he's able to do that. But I'm not necessarily surprised Bonino was on the way out. I thought he was really good here with the Predators. I think he came in and fit a specific role. And quite frankly, I think he played the game away with a little bit of edge to him and a little bit of nastiness to him that this roster just doesn't have a lot of. And I'm interested to see from that standpoint, now that you're getting rid of Bonino and you're not really replacing that, at least not as of yet. How does David Poile go about addressing that part of the lineup?
Well, Cunning, a first-round pick back in 2016, to your point, 22 years old. He's going to turn 23 in December. So with Gary Bettman coming out yesterday and saying the new target for the NHL season to start is now January 1. Luke Cunning will be 23 by the time the next season begins. I do think you have to see another level of Cunning, at least for me, another level in Cunning's game, maybe from a consistency standpoint, to validate the second-round pick being thrown in there. I mean, the 37th overall pick is nothing to sneeze at, especially with this organization needing all the pieces they can get to fill the cupboard. You know, I agree with you that the Nick Bonino, the timing of the trade isn't necessarily a surprise. Adam Finkin and I talked about that earlier this week on Preds Insiders. Bonino's value has never been higher. So Minnesota capitalized on getting Bonino, and David Poile capitalized on trading him right now. But the second and the third, in addition to Bonino, I get your point of you are retaining Cunning's rights beyond just this season because he is a current RFA, but it seems like a steep price on the surface.
It does, and I think if you're the Predators, you're taking a gamble at that point that Cunning turns out to continue to improve and get better. I mean, 31 points for that return, that's not going to get the job done. He needs to be getting closer to the 50 mark, 55 points on a consistent basis for I think you to feel really good about this if you're the Predators. And is that going to happen immediately with him? I don't know. I there shouldn't be a step back. Let me put it that way. I mean, you don't need him coming in here and let's say they play, somehow figure out a way to play an 82-game season. Based on where they are right now, I'm not sure that's going to happen. But let's say that for the sake of argument, they find a way to play an 82-game season. You know, he needs to be getting close to 40, 45 points at least, depending on the role he's in. And that's got to continue to grow. And that's the exciting part. I think if you're a Predators fan, and he was a first-round pick, he does have some offensive pop to his game. Can he build on that? Can he continue to expand his role at the NHL level? That's going to be the challenge for John Hines to figure out how to do that. But I agree. I mean, you're talking about a Predators franchise and a farm system right now really needs all the help it can get. And I think some people hear that and they're like, what are you talking about? You know, Milwaukee was in first place last year the whole season before the season paused due to COVID. And ultimately, they never got a chance to compete for the Calder Cup. But a lot of those guys on Milwaukee were more veteran guys when it comes to the minor leagues. There's not really a whole lot of blue-chip prospects in the system right now for the Predators to be excited about. So you're right. I mean, if Cunning doesn't come in and pay immediate dividends in the next year or two, it's certainly fair to question giving up a second and a third in addition to Bonino at that point.
All right. Kyle Turris put on unconditional waivers for the purpose of a buyout, as well as Steven Santini, but Santini – you know, you can find any defenseman like him if you want to. Kyle Turris, you know, there's kind of a double-edged sword here. On one side of the coin, you can say, all right, they're freeing up $4 million worth of cap space for the next 4 years. The other side of that is that he will count $2 million against your cap hit, against your salary cap for the next 8 years, which is a tough pill to swallow after everything that you gave up for Kyle Turris and the contract you signed him to. But at the end of the day, Robbie, this seemed like the most logical avenue for David Poile to take with Kyle Turris this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, like, you just can't sit around and wait on Kyle Turris to figure it out here anymore. And look, I think Kyle's still a good hockey player. I think he's a really good guy. He just didn't fit here. And it's tough to imagine, you know, him really rebounding in any significant way here when you realize what's in front of him. I mean, Ryan Johansson is going to be here. Matt Duchene is going to be here. And those two guys being in front of him, the question I had always after they signed Duchene was, okay, where in the world are you going to put Kyle Turris? They tried him out on the wing. It just didn't really work. I mean, he was okay. It's not like he can't play the wing, but it's just not his natural position. It's not where he's comfortable. And quite frankly, I don't think it's in a position where he can succeed all that well. So you were kind of running out of options with Kyle Turris. I heard some people say, you know, maybe we'll wait and see what a full year under John Hines does for Turris. But I think it had just gotten to the point where you couldn't afford to wait any longer if you're the Predators. And to the point of the trade, like, you know, it's a bad one. It's a bad trade for David Poile and the Predators, and there was a risk at the time. We all thought it was worth it at the time. I'm not going to sit here and act like I thought that the Kyle Turris trade was going to be a disaster from the start, because I didn't. I think it was a perfect fit at the time. In the first, 17, 20 games of his career with the Predators, it looked like the perfect fit. He came in, immediately was productive on a line with Kevin Fiala and Craig Smith, but really just fell off after that and never found it again. And let me tell you this. I mean, we talk about the Preds' back end right now, and we like Favreau and everything he brings to the table. Certainly feel great about Yossi and Ellis and Ekholm. Sure would be nice to have Samuel Girard in that mix right now, too. And that trade right now, I mean, it's one of the worst in Predators history. There's no doubt about it. I wish Kyle good luck. I think he's going to go somewhere else. And we have not heard the last of Kyle Turris. He'll go somewhere else. Might well be productive somewhere else, but it was not going to work out here. And I think really that's the only move the Predators had to make.
Yeah, I've been saying it all along. He was a square peg in a round hole within this depth chart, especially after they signed Matt Duchene. After they signed Matt Duchene, look, I hope Matt Duchene works out here for these next 6 years with his 7-year contract. But you have Johansson, you have Duchene. Turris isn't a fourth-line center. He's also not a second-line winger. You don't want to make Turris a second-line center and then force Duchene to the wing. It just didn't make sense from a depth chart standpoint. I agree with you. Wish Kyle nothing but the best. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see now with the Bonino trade and now the Turris buyout. That creates $8.1 million worth of cap space. You factor that with something that you tweeted out earlier today, which was, quote, "This team has underachieved the past couple of years, no question. But this team is largely still in its prime, so a total teardown doesn't make sense to me. So what about Taylor Hall?" So, Robbie, I ask you, now that $8.1 million worth of cap space is off the books, if you are GM David Poile and your head coach John Hines, who used to coach Taylor Hall in New Jersey, do you go after Taylor Hall?
Well, I started thinking about it, and it just makes sense to me. I mean, look, David Poile is at a spot in his career where he wants to win a Stanley Cup, and he wants to win it right now. I've heard people kind of toss the rebuilding term around, and I understand where that thought process is coming from. But then you look at the roster. Roman Yossi's 30 years old. He just won a Norris Trophy. He's in the prime of his career. The goaltending situation, Pekka's towards the end, but I think you still feel okay about Juuse Saros. And then Johansson, Forsberg, Duchene, Arvidsson, all these different guys you want to throw out there, they're right in the prime. Are you really going to, like, go through a rebuild and then hope that those guys are still productive and still good, you know, in 4 years from now? That just doesn't make any sense to me. So I get it if you're a Predators fan out there. You're thinking, all right, well, we've seen what this looks like with this group, and they just can't get the job done. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe they can't get the job done. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me right now when you have as much money and as much investment as you still have in these guys with Duchene and with Johansson, with Arvidsson and Forsberg. It doesn't make any sense to me to rebuild right now. So I look around at what's available. There's not a lot. And quite frankly, this time yesterday, if you would ask me if Taylor Hall was a possibility for the Predators, I would have said no. And I just don't think there's any way. But with the money they've cleared up right now, and you factor that in with the relationship that John Hines has with Taylor Hall. You think back to the Arizona series heading into it. Taylor Hall was very complimentary of John Hines and the role that he played in his development. You know, and if Taylor Hall is healthy, which has been a big if over his career, but if he's healthy, he's one of a handful of dominant players in the game. So, look, I'm not sitting here telling you that I fully expect the Predators to make a pitch and go after Taylor Hall. But you break down the money right now, you break down the potential fit that he would be here, certainly giving a winger for either Ryan Johansson or maybe more specifically Matt Duchene to play with. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to entertain that thought. So that's not something I thought would be on the table, 12 hours ago. Now I kind of have a different viewpoint on it. And like I said, if you're the Predators, if you're David Poile, I understand you're wanting to retool the roster, and you've got to make some changes because you're trending in the wrong direction right now. But this roster is too experienced, too much money's tied up in it, and quite frankly, I still think it's too talented to just totally abandon hope and go into a rebuild. And because of that, I think they might take a long, hard look at Taylor Hall.
Well, it's not like they have a bunch of holes on the roster that they need to go out and make trades for or sign players. I mean, they have enough bottom six forwards, and you can make an argument that they could use another defenseman with some of the cap space that they have created. But they have over $16 million worth of cap space now. And you already know that David Poile wants to bring in some sort of youth movement. Eli Tolvanen, Jakob Trenin, those are two of the names that he's been talking about a lot. Philip Tomasino as well. It's not like they have to spend that money on other players. And look, if Taylor Hall, if John Hines is a big proponent of getting Taylor Hall in here, and Taylor Hall can spark something within Matt Duchene, and you keep the Jofa line together and your second line theoretically could be Taylor Hall, Matt Duchene, and Eli Tolvanen, and you get to put Tolvanen in a situation where he's playing with two highly skilled players in Hall and Duchene, I have to think that that changes the conversation about this team going into next season.
I would agree, and it also puts a ton of pressure on Matt Duchene, because if you can't produce with Taylor Hall on your left wing, Frederick's got a big problem. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And look, we kind of feel better about Johansson right now just because of the way he played in the playoffs. Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson kind of seem to refine and reclaim that magic that we had grown accustomed to seeing. But Matt Duchene's got to be better. And we've even had conversations on the show. There was a report thrown out there yesterday by Craig Custance about maybe Matt Duchene being on the block and being made available for a trade. Now, given what happened today with Bonino and Turris, I would say that that's off the table at this point. I don't really see any way the Predators go that route at this point. But if you bring Taylor Hall in, there's no excuse for Matt Duchene at that point not to produce. He's got to get the job done. I think you can make that argument even without bringing Taylor Hall in. There's going to be a ton of pressure on Matt Duchene next year. But you bring in Hall, you've got, I think, two lines that you feel really good about at that point. And then the next question to me after that would be, all right, you're filling the roster around them with some of these younger guys, which is fine in theory, but do you have enough of that bite? Do you have enough of that grit that you need to have at times to win in the playoffs? And I think Tampa Bay is kind of the perfect example of what we're talking about here. They had all the skill in the world a year ago. They blitzed through the regular season, looked great, and then they just got steamrolled in the playoffs by the Columbus Blue Jackets. They went out this season, took a little bit of a different approach. Still had the skill, still had all the ingredients necessary to win a Stanley Cup, but they added some size. They added some grit. They brought in Pat Maroon, who I think made a huge difference for them in the playoffs. The Predators, to me, are still missing that guy. Now, maybe you have confidence that Trenin turns into that guy. I'm still kind of in wait-and-see mode on that specifically, and quite frankly, even if he does, I still think there's probably another guy of that mold that they need to go out and get and bring in somehow. But that would be the next step to me. If you do go after Hall and you're able to land him, I think you're really excited. I do think it changes the way that people view this team and the conversation around it. But to me, there's still a couple other ingredients that you're going to go get.
We're a few minutes away from Craig Button joining us here on Preds Insiders. And Craig Button last night, Robbie, was very adamant that Yaroslav Askarov, the young Russian goaltender, was the right pick for the Nashville Predators at 11th overall. Askarov, the only goaltender picked in the first round last night. And it seemed to put Twitter into a frenzy, Preds Twitter, I should say. Once the Preds selected Askarov, the third goaltender taken in the first round by David Poile, the first two did not work out very well. Brian Finley in 99, Chet Pickard in 2008. I don't know truly what to make of this, because I probably don't know enough about Askarov to come to a conclusion today as we sit here on October 7th, 2020. But I did find it interesting that David Poile went with Askarov when you don't take a first-round goaltender unless you think that player can be your franchise goaltender, right? And
yeah,
and for Poile to take Askarov at this stage, it leads me to think maybe they have some sort of seed of doubt that UC Saros can be a franchise goaltender.
I think that's fair. Look, I think we're all still in wait-and-see mode with UC Saros. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't think he can be a franchise guy, because I certainly think athletically there's potential there. But, I mean, look, let's be honest. We've never seen him do it. We've never seen him do it in the regular season as the full-time starter. And he got his chance in the playoffs against Arizona. And, you know, you can point to a lot of things of why they lost that series. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Saros was bad. I don't think Saros was great either. And sometimes you need great goaltending in the playoffs to win. So what it boils down to me more than anything is in the NHL draft, you got to take the best player available to you. Like, I know that's cliche and you hear that all the time in like the NFL draft, and you find like in the NFL draft, people say, well, yeah, we just took the best player. And a lot of times, like magically, the best player that NFL teams take happens to line up with exactly the position that they need.
Not the Packers.
Wonder, like, okay, is that really, yeah, is that really the best player? Yeah, not the Packers. I don't know why you had to go that route, bring that up. But in hockey, you just got to get as many assets on your side as you can get, many top level assets as you can get. Because, look, I mean, even if Askarov comes in there and he's ready to play and you feel pretty good about the future of your goaltending position at that point, you're talking about at least 2 years, maybe three or four, before he's ready to come in and potentially be the guy for you in net. So, number one, that gives you a lot of time to still figure out what you have in UC Saros. And number two, there's a whole lot that can happen between now and 3 years from now when this guy could come in and be ready. So I like the pick. You know, people talk about first-round goaltenders that haven't worked out. Well, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury's worked out pretty well. Carey Price has worked out pretty well. Andre Vasilevsky's worked out pretty well. It's not like they're not examples of goaltenders working out well in the first round. So, you know, I want to be careful because I heard some people tossing around comparisons last night to Martin Brodeur. I'm always kind of hesitant before we start throwing out Hall of Fame goaltenders in terms of comparisons. But certainly I think he was the best player left on the board, and I don't fault the Predators whatsoever for taking it.
Yeah, that was Pierre McGuire last night that he didn't say this exactly, but he basically said there are Martin Brodeur components in Askarov's game, and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, all right, let's pump the brakes a little, Pierre. I mean, come on, like. This kid's 18 years old, but here's what I will say about this pick for the Preds. We've been talking a lot about the importance of this specific draft to the Nashville Predators in terms of actually hitting on these draft picks because they are at a crucial stage in their organization in terms of the pipeline and what they're building beyond the NHL roster. They better have hit on this pick with Askarov. Askarov, even if he's not a franchise goaltender, better be a really good starting goaltender for your team in 4 to 6 years. He'll get to the NHL sooner than that, but in that window, he better be a really good goaltender for your team. Because if not, they will have missed another opportunity to get a high-level forward or even a defenseman in the middle of the first round to come in here and add to the pipeline with the likes of Tomasino, with Tolvanen, with Afanasyev. And if they missed out on that opportunity to go after Askarov and Askarov does not work out as the 11th overall pick, that's one that I'm going to look back on and say it should have been someone else. And I know that's easy to say now, and you can make that case for any position that would have been taken at 11th overall. But now that it's a goaltender at 11th overall, he better be the guy moving forward.
Yeah, and I think especially when you compound that with Kevin Fiala being here and not working out and then all of a sudden blossoming and looking like he's going to be a pretty good player in Minnesota, you factor it in with Elie Tolvanen, even though, I mean, I'm not willing to just pull the plug on Tolvanen yet. He's still young. I think there's still a lot of potential there. But so far, Tolvanen has not worked out the way that you thought he would. Tomasino, I feel really good about. I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to be very good for the Predators. But you're right. There is a lot of pressure there, I think, to hit on this because there is going to be that conversation of if the goaltender doesn't work out and you took him in the first round, I mean, that's going to be a problem with a lot of Predators fans. And we had Greg Wyshynski from ESPN on what Robbie and Rex wrote a couple of days ago just talking about taking a goaltender in the first round and how basically he's had somebody, you know, make that equivalent to the running back. In the NFL, you can just find some in later rounds that can end up being franchise goaltenders. And we see that happen all the time. I mean, Pekka Rinne was taken in a round that no longer exists in the NHL draft. So you could find goaltenders later in the draft. So you factor all of those things together, I do think there's tremendous pressure on the Predators to make sure that they get this pick right. Now, all indications are so far that this guy is about as can't miss as it gets. But I do think there's going to be tremendous pressure to get him in here as quickly as you possibly can. And that's probably going to be a couple years. But once he's ready, once he's able to come in, get him in here and see what he's made up and see if he's really able to be the franchise goaltender that you feel like you should be taking if you're drafting the goaltender 11th overall.
Robbie Stanley is half of Robbie and Rex Road, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie, thank you so much for joining this emergency version of Preds Insiders, the podcasted version. And we look forward to seeing what is next on the table for the Nashville Predators, as it's going to be a wild week.
Certainly going to be interesting, no question about it.
Good stuff, as always, right there from Robbie Stanley, NHL.com, and Robbie and Rex Road, weekdays 6 to 10, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Lot to unpack from that conversation. Definitely agree with him that Luke Cunningham, you're getting some extra years out of him than you would have out of Nick Bonino. At the same time, I do not love the Preds giving up the 37th overall pick in this trade. I just don't. The Preds need to fill the cupboard. They also need to compete right now, but they need to fill the cupboard. And I don't know if Luke Cunningham is really going to be that much of an upgrade over Nick Bonino. I just don't. Unless there's another level to Luke Cunningham's game that we're not expecting. Now, I will be asking Craig Button about Luke Cunningham when he joins me here in just a few minutes. So we'll get his perspective on Cunningham. But I'm not overly impressed with this trade right now. We could have a different feeling a year from now or 2 years from now. But the fact that a second round pick was thrown in there as well, I just don't love that. The 37th overall pick, that could have been, you couple that with the 42nd overall pick, which was Luke Evangelista, could have been two really solid players coming into the pipeline. Instead, you're only getting one. So we'll see how that trade pans out. The trade that did not pan out was the Kyle Turris trade. Been saying this for a long time. His time here was done in Nashville. It's nothing against Kyle Turris, the person. Square peg, round hole, etc. We wish Kyle Turris nothing but the best. We'll see where he lands in free agency, if he lands anywhere before the start of training camp. Just getting him off the roster, off the depth chart, I think is going to be something that is an addition by subtraction. Not personally, but just his presence on the depth chart. It was not working out. The puzzle pieces weren't fitting with Turris on the roster. So I thought that was the right move for David Poile to take, even though it's not a favorable move with the fact that you are swallowing $2 million worth of cap space for each of the next 8 years. Yuck. And we'll see about Taylor Hall. I'm not sold yet that Taylor Hall is in play for the Nashville Predators. However, some of the things that Robbie Stanley said in that conversation, they do make sense. So Taylor Hall, that would be another big contract that David Poile would be signing. To Robbie Stanley's point, David Poile is in win-now mode. And I don't think you can afford to go into next season with just a youth movement. Yes, you're essentially swapping Bonino for Cunningham in terms of NHL roster players for next season. That is a youth movement. You've got prospects you want to give a chance. But at the same time, you can't expect to go into next season as any sort of contender beyond just a bubble playoff team if you don't make any other additions in this offseason. So very curious to see how David Poile uses or doesn't use that cap space as free agency begins on Friday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. Now, if you watched the NHL draft coverage last night on NBCSN, you saw Craig Button along with Bob McKenzie and Pierre McGuire along with host Liam McHugh. Craig Button has a lot of opinions on Yaroslav Askarov coming to the Nashville Predators, and he joins us now right here on Preds Insiders. Craig, how are we doing this afternoon?
Hey, Ryan, we're doing really good. Probably not as good as David Poile's feeling right now with the addition of a player who I think is a franchise goaltender in Yaroslav Askarov.
Yes, let's start there, because anyone watching the NHL draft coverage last night on NBCSN would have seen your high approval of Askarov being picked at 11th overall by David Poile, the young Russian goaltender. for you, why was this the right pick for David Poile and company at 11?
Well, I mean, the defense is so good, and they got players in the prospect cupboard that are good at that position. They got good forwards. I mean, their first-round draft pick last year, Philip Tomasino, I think he's ready to play in the NHL, to be straightforward with you. He's that good. But, you know, with Pekka Rinne nearing the end of his career, I think Juuse has really established himself as what I would call a 2A, 1B goaltender. You know, when you look at your pipeline and you go, wait a second here. We don't have any, you know, real formidable candidates to be a number one goaltender. So you get presented opportunities in different ways. David could have looked at free agency. He could have looked at trades. But a young goaltender like Askarov, who I project as a franchise goaltender, a franchise number one, who has been tremendous at this stage of his career, 18. And I'm not going to suggest he's ready to play next year, but he's like Andre Gosselin in the sense that he's mature in his game. And, you know, he's more advanced, and he's going to be ready to come in and take a spot on the team because he's playing in the KHL. He played pro hockey last year in the American Hockey League version of Russia, and he played very well. So it's also, you're not waiting 5 years for Yaroslav Askarov. He's precocious. But, you know, and I said this last night at some point during the broadcast, Andrei Vasilevsky was the 19th pick in the 2012 draft. There's not one player anywhere in that draft that's better than him. There might be a couple of players that you could say, okay, they're okay, they've contributed. Nobody's close to him for what his impact has been. Nobody. 18 teams passed on him for different reasons. I'm not suggesting they made mistakes. You have to make these decisions. But when you have a chance to get that type of a goalie, who I think Askarov is that type of a goalie, why would you be passing on him? And for David Poile, who's drafted goaltenders in the first round previously, I think of Olaf Kolzig, when my dad worked with him in Washington, he's not hesitant, and I think they got a star.
So one of the names used on last night's broadcast and across the interwebs with Askarov is Carey Price. Carey Price drafted fifth overall by the Montreal Canadiens back in 2005. You're somebody who has been comparing Askarov to Carey Price. What are some of the similarities that you see between Askarov and Price?
Okay, so you know it's always interesting, but I like to make distinctions. So one of the things that I said was that Yaroslav Askarov is the best goaltender entering the draft since Carey Price in 2005. You know that's and then all of a sudden now things carry in no pun intended on the Price on the first name of Carey Price, but you know that was the first thing. But like Carey Price, but like good goaltenders, they're fluid. They're fluid in their movements. They make things look easy. They're economical. They're not busy. Their feet get settled underneath them. And Carey is exceptionally athletic. So is Yaroslav. The other thing that I think is a necessary element for greatness in any position is outstanding hockey sense. And it applies for goaltenders. And I think the ability to read the play, anticipate the play, is so important. Because you can have all the athletic ability in the world, but if you're not getting to the right spot at the right time, the pucks are going in. And for Yaroslav Askarov, like Carey Price, that hockey sense is outstanding. And then, you know, the technical parts of his game, Carey Price took some time to work those technical parts of his game, like a pitcher in baseball that has to learn how to pitch. The same thing with goaltending. You got to learn how to goaltend. And, you know, this is where development comes in. And, you know, we saw that with Carey Price, and we saw where he went. But all the essential attributes for goaltending that I think allow you to be a franchise number one goaltender, Askarov has them. And that's where I compare him to Carey Price. And, you know, Carey was precocious, too. He was successful at early stages. It took him a little bit of time to really find his way into the net, like as that established number one. But once he got there, there was no removing him.
So Obviously, Carey Price has had a lot of success in his NHL career. Andrei Vasilevsky just won the Stanley Cup. Two first-round goaltenders that have proven to be solid and absolutely worthy picks in the first round. There have also been some other goaltenders, Craig, over the years that did not pan out as first-round picks. And there seems to be a stigma over goaltenders in the first round and how they might be harder to evaluate before drafting. Do you agree with that stigma that goaltenders can be harder to evaluate at that young of an age before forwards and or compared to forwards and defensemen?
Well, I mean, evaluating defensemen is different than evaluating forwards. Evaluating a center is different than evaluating a left winger. You know, they all come in different size, shapes, and forms. It just as they play a certain position. And quite frankly, Ryan, I don't. If you're going to tell me it's really hard, well, good, I'll get somebody else who can evaluate them. You know what? Like, oh, it's so hard to evaluate coaches, so we're not going to take them? Well, that's a failure if I haven't heard of one. Now, I'm going to go back to the 2012 draft. We're going to go back to the 2012 draft where Vasilevsky went 19. And I'm going to ring off the picks. Neil Yakupov, 1. Ryan Murray, 2. Alex Galchenyuk, 3. Griffin Reinhardt, 4. Morgan Riley, 5. Hampus Lindholm, 6. Matt Dumba, 7. Derek Pouliot, 8. Jacob Trouba, 9. Slater Cuckoo, 10. Current Nashville Predator, who they acquired in a trade, Philip Forsberg, 11. Michael Grigorenko, 12. Maybe teams shouldn't be drafting centers or defensemen or wingers either.
Well, Philip Forsberg turned out to be pretty good, but I see where you're going with that.
I know, yeah. And Morgan Riley's a good player. Tommy Wilson went to the Washington Capitals, and Thomas Hertl went to San Jose Sharks, but, like, nobody is in the class of Andrei Vasilevsky. So you can use any narrative you want. You can call it a stigma. You can call it a bias and everything. Just understand that when I call them myths, and if you want to rely on myths, you're going to get led down a path. And ultimately, when you get led down a path, you're going to find out, whoa, boy, I maybe shouldn't be thinking like that. So to answer your question, in real short form, I think it's a cop-out when people say, oh, we can't draft a goaltender, they're hard to evaluate. Yeah, everybody's hard to evaluate. I just named the first 12 picks in the 2012 draft. Different positions, different levels of play. You know, Morgan Riley, Jacob Trouba, Hampus Lindholm, Matt Dumba, good players. Like, they're good. Nobody close to Vasilevsky.
So Yaroslav Askarov is signed in the Continental Hockey League through 2022. He's 18 years old. For you, what is a realistic ballpark timeline for Preds fans to perhaps expect Askarov to be in a Preds uniform at the NHL level?
I'll say 2022, because, you know, we know what the contractual situations are with the young players, and you know you have to respect them and you have to honor those contracts. The NHL does. So what I would say is 2022, because that's when his contract expires. He's playing now for SKA. In the KHL. And there's no question in my mind, he's just going to get more time. He's just going to take that over and play more. Next year, I would imagine he's going to be the workhorse goaltender that he always has been. And then he'll be ready to come over, like Vasilevsky. Go back and look at Vasilevsky. Does that mean he's going to be that established guy right from day one in Nashville? No. But like Vasilevsky, he'll be coming to the league with a lot of good experience playing professional hockey at a challenging level that will help him make that transition. And he'll be playing in international tournaments. He'll be playing in the World Junior Tournament. I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing in some World Championships. Maybe not the World Championships per se, but those events that surround the World Championships under normal conditions. But that's what I see, Ryan, is that's his timeline. He'll be 20 and ready to go.
The Preds also drafted Luke Evangelista, forward from the OHL at 42nd overall earlier today in the second round. What do you see in Evangelista?
Well, what I see in Luke is a player that, regardless of where you're playing, regardless of who you're playing, regardless of what type of game you're playing in, Luke finds a way to be a factor. So he can skate, he's competitive, he's skilled, he can check, he'll play in the tight spaces and be hard on a puck. And to me, Luke is one of those, there's not a lot of flash to him, there's not a lot of dash to him, but there's a tremendous amount of substance in him. He digs in every critical area on the ice. And, you know, playing for Dale Hunter in London is something that really expands players' games. And you can look at his points this year. He didn't play very much on the power play. His points, you know, and I'm talking about normal conditions, if the season gets back up to play and, you know, we get into a safer place pandemic-wise, he'll be used on the power play lots. His points will accelerate because he's a smart player. But he's a guy that you can put him anywhere. You can play him up with good players on the wing. You can put him in the middle of the ice. You can have him penalty kill. You can have him be a catalyst forechecker. There's nothing that Luke can't find a way to do in the game and do it well. And I those types of players that have that versatility, that they can adapt to different situations. And it's not just saying, oh, yeah, I'll go play the wing. He goes and plays the wing and he does it well. Oh, I need to check tonight. I'm going to go and do that well. And I think it's a terrific selection for the Nashville Predators. I mentioned Philip Tomasino, who they drafted in the first round last year. And I do believe he's ready for the NHL. His speed, he went to that next level this past season in the OHL. I mean, he started off and then he ended up getting traded. But I think Luke Evangelista can take similar type steps in his play. But a really competitive, smart player with lots of good attributes.
So what do you make of the now collection of prospects that the Predators have at the forward position? You mentioned Tomasino. They drafted Evangelista today. They drafted Igor Afanasyev last season in the second round. Obviously, Eli Tolvanen has been a big name here. A lot of people waiting for him to blossom at the NHL level for the last couple of years here in Nashville. What do you make of that young collection of forwards that the Preds possess?
Well, skilled. And Igor Afanasyev is a very skilled player. And so you start to look at the type. So Philip is a great skater, you know, that's got this dynamic quality to him. He uses that speed to open it up. He shoots. He plays with confidence. And, you know, I really, you know, watching him from last year to this year, you could just see the confidence grow. You know, Igor Afanasyev as a winger, he's so smart and he knows how to get open and he knows when to get open and where to be at the right times. You know, he's one of those wingers that, you know, all of a sudden the puck comes to him and it's in the net or there's a great scoring chance because, you know, he reads the play so well, he moves up the ice, you know, he's in good position, and then when the time is right, he gets into the proper spots. And I think he's just going to get that much better with more confidence. His game grew over the course of the year in Windsor. And I talked about Luke Evangelista, a different type of player than those guys. You need different players to be successful. Would you like every player to be a top-end player offensively and be a number one center? Yeah, you would. But you don't get that opportunity. So you look at areas of the strengths of specific players and go, okay, where does that fit on our team? And where does that fit on our team? What do you need? The Tampa Bay Lightning just win the Stanley Cup. Well, we know Kucherov is a darn good player. He's different than Blake Coleman, and Blake Coleman's different than Andre Palat, and Andre Palat's even different than Alex Killorn, and Yanni Gourde is different than Braden Point. But they all contribute in significant ways to ultimate success, and that's what you need. You need balance in your lineup. So I mean, those three players specifically are players that I have no doubt are NHLers. And if Eli Tolvanen, and I think Tolvanen right now is in that stage of, you know what? He's got to make the decision himself. Do I want to push myself forward and be a good player? There's no question in his skills. Or do I want to hold myself back? Because I really believe that the only person holding Eli Tolvanen back is Eli Tolvanen.
Craig Button, last thing for you here. The Preds just made a trade earlier today of sending Nick Bonino and a couple draft picks to Minnesota for Luke Cunnan and a draft pick from Minnesota. What do you make of Luke Cunnan and what the Preds are getting in him?
I'll tell you what Luke is. Luke is in it to win it. He's not interested in fiddling with the dials. He's not interested in, you know, oh, yeah, we had a good game. Too bad we lose. You know, and tomorrow will be a different night. He's dialed. He's a great competitor. And he's another versatile player. You know, is he a center? Is he a winger? He's not a top-line player, but he's a player that when you're going to play a game and the greater the challenges in that particular game, I want Luke Cunningham on my side. I want him with me. And you can count on him. He's quick. He's fast. He's aggressive. He's consistent. He's determined. And, you know, whether that be 40 points, maybe he gets 50 points, maybe even a little bit more than that. All I know is what he brings to the game is real substance. And that's what he brings to a team. I just talked about what the different players, Tomasino, Afanasyev, and Evangelista add. Well, Luke Cunningham adds a critical component to your team. I really think when I look at the Nashville Predators, they need more competitiveness in the forward group. They don't have enough competitiveness in the forward group. And the four players I just mentioned, all competitive. And quite frankly, when I talk back about Tolvanen, that's what he's doing. I've seen Ile be really competitive. He just got to find a way to be a lot more consistent. And with that skill, he can find his way. But these are significant players, I think, for the future of the Nashville Predators.
Craig Button is a draft analyst for TSN. Craig, hey, thank you so much for joining us here on short notice here on Preds Insiders, and look forward to your analysis moving forward.
You do know this, Ryan. It's always my pleasure to join you. And, of course, you know, Nashville is always a place that's close to my heart because of David Poile and his family and the relationship with my father for a long time.
Thank you so much to Craig Button of TSN for taking time out of his busy schedule to come on here with Preds Insiders and discuss not only the Askarov pick, or Askarov, tomato, tomato. Askarov and Luke Evangelista and Luke Cunningham. Interesting insight there on Luke Cunningham coming over from the Minnesota Wild. Craig Button's analysis has always been really, really good. And I tweeted this out last night. Brian Finley in 99, Chet Pickard in 08, admittedly has me gun-shy about the Preds taking a goalie in the first round again. But just because it didn't work out with those two doesn't mean Askarov will not pan out as a franchise goaltender. I said this with Robbie, though. Askarov better have been worth the 11th overall pick. I think it is risky. I will disagree with Craig Button just in the sheer sense that history shows that taking a goaltender in the first round can be risky, very risky. And if Askarov does not pan out in a huge draft for the Preds, and they missed an opportunity at a stud forward or a stud defenseman to add into this pipeline, Askarov better pan out. We'll see about Evangelista and the other picks that the Preds made today in the 2020 NHL draft. And who knows? I mean, we're supposed to be back on the air Monday night at 6 p.m. We could be having another emergency podcast before then with everything going on in the NHL offseason. But until then, whether it's later this week or Monday evening at 6 p.m., thank you for listening to Preds Insiders. Rate, review, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And we will talk to you next time here on the Game Nashville app, thegamenashville.com, and your favorite podcast platform. Cheers.